Again, I'll stand up with 1 minute to go, and you have timing right here. All right, so canopy sensors with Nebraska. Josh, come on, take it away. Educate us.
We'll try our best here. Thank you. My name is Josh Miller. I'm a PhD candidate at the University of Nebraska in plant pathology and also a doctor of plant health student there. And like I said, the title of my talk today is Characterizing Soybean Vigor and Productivity Using Multiple Crop Canopy Sensory Readings. And I will try to get this done in 15 minutes, but like you said, you can see the extension there, so I'm used to the running over on time, so I will keep it to a minimum. The outline today, only 12 minutes, but we are going to cover a few things. Optical sensing, what is it? Current applications in agriculture, especially with corn. Then we'll get to our experiment, the experimental design, results that we saw, and then the conclusions we've come to. So optical sensing, it's a broad term, but the way we're going to use it is an optical sensor basically measures electromagnetic radiation in a certain set of wavelengths. We're looking more at visible and near-infrared, so that's what this chart is showing. You can see the spectral reflectance signature of water, green vegetation, and soil. So we're going to look at three distinct waveband regions, the red, red edge, and near-infrared. And I'll talk about that why in this slide. I found this image, which was characteristic of why we're looking at these. You can see a blue, a green, and a red arrow there, representative of the visible light spectrum. Blue and red look like they're completely absorbed. It's not true. They're also reflective, but more highly absorbed because of chlorophyll and other pigments. The green is less absorbed. That's why we see green plants. The white, then, is indicative of near-infrared. And this is not absorbed by the plants. It is reflected. And this has been shown to actually correlate to the crop canopy, the biomass out there. The more that's reflected with the infrared, the more biomass you have. So why are these important? We're going to look at it because of the vegetation indices that you can produce with these. The first is NDVI, Normalized Difference Vegetation Index. This is looking at both near-infrared and red. So the red, we talked about chlorophyll absorbing the red light. So the lower the red, the more absorption you're getting from chlorophyll, so the more chlorophyll content you have. The higher the near-infrared, the more crop canopy, the more biomass you have. So as Dr. Shepherd, who's in the audience, told me, this is like looking at a factory. If you have a factory, the near-infrared is how big the factory is, and then the red is how much that factory is producing. So we're looking at kind of a gross primary productivity with these vegetation indices. I will also be looking at the normalized difference red edge. So in that previous slide, you saw that the red edge was in between red near-infrared. And that's on that upward slope because with the red, we can get this maximum absorption with large crop canopies, and we're not absorbing any more red. So if you look at NDVI later in the season with soybeans like we're going to look at, you see that it becomes insensitive because it's absorbing the maximum amount of red that it can. Whereas the red edge, there's still this red edge shift effect. Smaller differences can actually be picked up using red edge, whereas red's not. So we're going to look at a comparison of both of these. So the sensor that we used is the RapidScan. This is commercially available as Optrix. This is the reason why I got into it, actually, is because we were using it in the company I used to work for to make variable rate nitrogen applications. I consider this a proximal sensor. We're holding it close to the crop canopy, so it's not remote. It's active because it emits its own light source. This, again, is an animation stolen from Dr. Shepherd's, but it emits its own light source, and then three photodiodes are picking up the reflectance in the red, red edge, and near-infrared wavebands, so it's multispectral, only the three wavebands we're looking at. And then we're calculating NDVI and NDRE off of these readings. So I said current applications, we're going to look at another crop. This is corn. So back in 2008, I'm just showing these as an example. We don't need to read the charts, but they looked at the correlation between the vegetation indices and corn yield. So that's what you see on the right-hand chart there. They saw this correlation that if they were measuring vegetation indices, they were getting a strong correlation to relative yield. So from that, they developed algorithms to translate the sensor readings and nitrogen recommendations. Moving forward from that, Holland and Shepherds then turned this into a variable rate nitrogen model for corn, and this was what was actually in the controllers that my applicators were using to make variable rate nitrogen applications on corn. So my thought coming back to school with this experience was, can we use this in soybeans in any way? So that's what we're attempting to do. Maybe not model nitrogen applications, because as we know with soybeans, nitrogen is not the driving force, but we do have other nutrients that are important. Diseases impact yield, insects, weeds, row spacing. I have a list here, not comprehensive, but it is definitely There's things that we don't have that one-to-one relationship of nitrogen driving corn yield. We need to look further into what's driving yield. So that's where the objectives of this study came in. First, we just need to characterize the canopy reflectance of soybeans. We decided to use the commercially available sensor so that when we find results, this can be translated into something that growers can then apply to their field. Not there yet, but this is the eventual goal. And then finally, we're going to determine if the crop canopy reflectance measurements correlate with relative yield, much like they did with the corn. So now we're going to jump into that part of it. The experimental design, it was done in 2014 and 15 as part of this large-scale experiment to look at seed treatments and foliar treatments to drive soybean yield. So it was in four locations in each year, four reps per location. It was designed with an alpha lattice to account for just natural soil variability across the field. The treatment design was factorial. Like I said, five seed treatments by six foliar treatments in 2014, and we added another foliar treatment in 2015. And then scans were taken from early vegetative stages all the way through R8. This is a map of where the locations were. If you know anything about Nebraska, this is pretty representative of the soybean-producing areas in the state. We don't have a lot in the western region, so we're trying to focus on soybean-producing areas in the state. These were also where the soybean management field days were located. They were part of those field days. So the data set that we obtained, 120 plots per location in 2014, 140 in 2015, and then 12 readings per plot in 2014, and 13 readings per plot in 2015 gave us a total of 13,000 readings. So we have a lot of data to pour through right now. And then in addition to just getting the waveband reflectance in the red edge and infrared, and the vegetation indices that we calculated, we also have yield disease ratings, insect ratings, stand counts, and select plant tissue analyses. So we're looking at really what goes into making this yield. So this is the first chart that I want to look at. This is four charts together, but this is the raw data that we plotted from every plot. And on the top, you can see the NDVI readings is what we're looking at. And then plotted on the left for days after planting, and on the right is day of year. And then the bottom, it's NDRE plotted days after planting or day of year. So let's work our way from the top. Both NDVI, whether you looked at it by day after planting or day of year, shows this plateau. So we have this flat line towards early reproductive stages, where we talked about that maximum absorption of red. We're not sensitive to any changes at that point. So we've kind of hit this plateau up there at the top. And so we jumped down to the NDRE then. And so this was one of our hypotheses, is that using the NDRE with the red edge, we're going to be more likely to pick up subtle differences versus what we can with the NDVI. So we moved to NDRE. Looked at days after planting. I thought this would line up a lot better, but you know, soybeans are photoperiod dependent, and we really see that these match up with day of year, even though there were pretty large differences by when these beans were planted. So we're going to be looking at this by NDRE, day of year. That's how we do our analysis from here. This is the way that we work to that. So I did say I'm a PhD candidate in plant pathology, so I'm trying to apply some sort of plant pathology to my project. So conceptually, I thought area under the disease progress curve actually makes a lot of sense for what we're doing here. A lot of the studies up to this point have looked at readings at one time in the season. And we have these measurements collected across the entire season. And the more I got to think about it, it was like collecting disease severity over the course of the season, that it starts to increase and increase and increase. And so we applied this to our data set, and we're coining the term area under the reflectance progress curve. So maybe we can get that one out there, tweet it, Sal. So these are what our curves look like for NDVI and NDRE. So moving to that plot that we showed a few slides ago on the left there, that is our raw data planted by NDRE by day of year. And on the right-hand side is how we calculated the area under the reflectance progress curve over the course of the season. So we this was the accumulated reflectance, you could call it, over the season. And now we've moved from this bell-shaped curve to actually something that makes biological sense, the sigmoidal curve, that we see a slow increase in reflectance followed by this rapid increase as we continue to grow the canopy. And then we start to get a plateau once we get to senescence and the beans start to dry down again. So we looked at this. The only things that were really influencing the area under the curve was location. We did not have an influence by seed treatments. We did not have an influence by foliar treatments. No other factor actually influenced this area under the curve except for location. So that's going to be important as we move forward. This is just a scatter plot looking at all of those area terms. The final area term that we looked at was R5. After the pod fill, we saw that the reflectance started to come down, so we looked at the maximum reflectance at each of these plots, and that was the AURBC at R5. So these are plots of AURBC at R5 plotted against yield. So was there any correlation? That's what we wanted to look at. Well, we can't compare it across locations, so we're going to have to look within locations. You can look here on the top left, those blue, that's Holdridge. It had one of the lowest AURPCs for the location, but it was the highest yielding for location. So we're going to look within locations. So what did we see within locations? This is one. This is Alda. We did see this correlation between higher AURPs resulting in higher yield. So 7 of the 8 locations did show this significant relationship of higher AURPC resulting in higher yield. Okay. We also ran linear models on all this. Again, 7 of the 8 locations. We had that one little stinker that wouldn't cooperate with us too much, but 7 of the 8 locations we are showing this positive response and a significant interaction represented by the higher AURPC and higher yield. So I'm not a big modeler, but I am pragmatist. What can we actually do with this? How can growers use this information? And one of the things we used to do was create these heat maps, these variable-rate nitrogen maps in corn, or create zones, productivity zones within a field. So I said, well, can these actually characterize the soybean field? So that's what we did here. I'm glad the previous speaker already had a heat map up, so this is clear what this is now. But this is one location. This is the same location looking at a heat map two different ways. The top one is AURPC, and the bottom one is the yield. So red shows the bottom 25% of the plots, either by AURPC or yield, and then the green is the top 25%. White is the middle 50. And so we can still look at the models. We're still going to continue to look at these models, and can we figure what is really influencing yield with AURPC. But one thing that we can actually do, we're running out. I got a minute. All right. So one of the things that we can do is maybe we can characterize these fields before we actually go out and take the soybeans off, and that's what we looked at here. So this is just a simple odds ratio looking at when we saw AURBC in the bottom 25% of the field, did we see yield in the bottom 25% of the field? And so these are the positive, the correct correlations. You know, we were looking at 60%, 70%, 77%. But we also saw on the other side, what was the chance if we saw a AURPC in the top 25% that yield was actually in the bottom 25%, something completely wrong, and we're very low in that, depending on the location. Some locations weren't quite as good. So this is potentially an opportunity on how we can characterize soybean fields, the productivity of the soybean fields, before yield, before we go out there and collect yield off that field. Maybe it can be early enough that we can go make management decisions, or at least within that field we can see what our yield is. This is just looking at them across all locations, and this is without Greenwood, that one little guy that wasn't cooperating with us too much. So this is overall of the 7 of the 8 locations that were showing this correlation, our chance, the odds ratio, probability of correctly identifying bottom and top yielding portions of the field or incorrectly identifying them. So conclusions, NDRE, in our opinion, is the preferred index to characterize season-long crop canopy reflectance in soybeans due to that insensitivity of red. AURPC is a potential new method that we can use to look at these reflectance readings across the entire season, this cumulative reflectance. And then we did see that AURPC correlates with relative yield within these fields, and we can characterize the high and low yielding parts of the field. So with that, I'd like to nod my committee, Lauren Gieser, the lab, all those guys that helped me get it done. I had a lot of help statistically to get this done. And then from UNL, the guys that helped me get it done. And then this was funded by the Nebraska Soybean Board. And finally, I always like to throw my kids up there and my wife for allowing me to go back to school. So, any questions?
Thanks, Josh.